Hey, Merriam-Webster has picked its word of the year, and it is legit. Authentic is the top word of 2023, according to America's oldest dictionary. Merriam-Webster said it saw a substantial increase in online searches for it this year. The interest was driven by stories and conversations about AI, artificial intelligence, celebrity culture, identity, and social media. One reason many people search for the word is because it has a number of meanings, including not false or imitation, and also true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. Although clearly a desirable quality, authentic is hard to define and subject to debate. Merriam-Webster said that the publisher added the popularity of the word, which had been highly searched in the U.S. in the past, grew this year as the line between real and fake became increasingly blurred. The AI boom helped with the blurring, spurring interest in the authenticity of text, images, and videos. Other top words from 2023 include the internet slang RIZ, short for charisma, meaning romantic appeal or charm. Well, the person who lands a lead role in a major motion picture, you gotta have Riz. Lots of thespians seem to think they have it. The sequel to The Karate Kid, one of many sequels, by the way, but the latest, it's already received 10,000 applications for the lead role. They should gather all those interested in auditioning at the parking lot at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, and hold a pop-up car wash for charity so they can practice the dearly departed Mr. Miyagi's wax-on, wax-off training method. Speaking of car washes, the song Car Wash by the American soul and R&B band Rose Royce, well, it rose to numero uno on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1976, written and arranged by the ex-Motown producer Norman Whitfield. The song was the group's first single and one of the most notable successes of the 1970s disco era. At the car wash, you just heard a monologue music reference. It was the theme of the 1976 film Car Wash, the most successful single for the group and the lead single from their first studio album, which was the Car Wash soundtrack. Years later, one of the band members went from playing Car Wash to driving cars. How do I know? Well, he gave me a ride home from LAX a few years back. And man, I've had so many interesting connections with drivers, and I'd love to bring back a cleaner, nicer, inspiring version of Taxi Cab Confessions type programming. Like I say, the antithesis of what that show was. Uber chats with yours truly. You know, I have met, as I mentioned, lots of remarkable people currently trying to make ends meet, working for rideshare services, and it's always cool to connect with a stranger and learn something new about life. And speaking of life, 'tis the holiday season where giving is better than receiving, and the rubber has hit the road on this Giving Tuesday. It's a day when nonprofits across the country and around the world rely on the generosity of donors and volunteers to fuel end-of-the-year initiatives. The biggest day of giving every year, Giving Tuesday, is a celebration of radical generosity, which invites people to give what they can to create systemic change and reminds us that we each can drive an enormous amount of positive change by using our time, skills, goods, and advocacy to help others. Good, Good, Good gave us three recs for ways you can celebrate this annual tradition of altruism. You can give to a nonprofit serving your community. Think about the charity that provides school supplies to low-income students in your area, or the local fundraising collective that provides grants to minority women-owned startups. Find a local group that is actively doing work within your community to channel your funds this year. You'll be amazed by how quickly you will be able to see that difference manifest for your very own neighbors. You could give to activists and educators. Think about your favorite activists who use their online platforms to educate folks, or the organizers in your community who are always on the front lines of a protest or distribution sites. The work they do is invaluable, but often unpaid. And speaking of unpaid, volunteer your time. Whether you're serving meals at a local shelter, picking up trash with a neighborhood cleanup group, shopping for and distributing winter coats to those in need, or perhaps hosting an event that raises funds and awareness for a certain cause, you can give back to your community in a way that is fun and engaging for everyone. And a growing number of U.S. states are addressing food waste concerns by implementing programs that redirect edible food from supermarkets and businesses to food pantries instead of landfills. There is a call for a coordinated national effort to achieve the 2015 goals set by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Environmental Protection Agency to reduce food waste by 50% by the year 2030. Speaking of dates, it was on this day in 1520 that Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan reached the Pacific Ocean, becoming the first European to reach it through the Atlantic. He and his crew set sail 14 months earlier from Spain in search of a western sea route to Indonesia. It took an astounding 38 days to get through what is now the Strait of Magellan. The explorer was so overjoyed upon entering the Pacific that he wept for joy. In 99 days, he crossed the newfound ocean, whose waters were remarkably calm. He thus named it after the Latin word Pacificus, which means tranquil. All right, sticking with H2O news, researchers have developed biohybrid micro-robots designed to remove micro and nanoplastics from water without causing further pollution. In tests, the robots demonstrated a high removal efficiency, offering a potentially cost-effective and environmentally friendly solution for tackling plastic pollution in aquatic environments. Well, no matter the environment, it's always a good time when you turn up the Bee Gees. And Karen Heller, a writer at the Washington Post, she did a feature on the Bee Gees' Barry Gibb. Saturday Night Fever, the double album, including other artists but dominated by the Bee Gees, wasn't merely the soundtrack to that movie with those lush three-part harmonies, all those hit singles, Stayin' Alive, How Deep Is Your Love, Night Fever, More Than a Woman. It was the soundtrack to the late 1970s, six consecutive number one hits, equaling the Beatles' record, five simultaneous songs in the top 10, 2 years boogieing atop the charts, 25 million copies sold before the decade's close. And this fall, the 77-year-old Barry Gibb is among this year's Kennedy Center Honors recipients. The eldest and last of the English-born, Australian-raised Gibb brothers, the contributor of that haunting falsetto, and the principal architect of their singular sound. Twins Maurice and Robin died respectively in 2003 and 2012. It's reductive and wrong to view the Bee Gees in solely a fever state, though the album tends to loom over everything like a massive disco ball. It's even proved life-saving. Stayin' Alive is among the songs whose beats match the rhythm for performing hands-on CPR. Bet you didn't know that. Hey, but disco only encompasses one of the group's iterations. The brothers, and Barry in particular, produced three sustained acts of extraordinary musical creativity, beginning as teenagers in the early 1960s. A performer since the age of nine, who quit school 5 years later, Gibb seized the cultural moment, becoming one of the most successful songwriters of all time with 220 million albums in sales, according to Guinness, second only to Paul McCartney. His name and artistry are laminated on almost every Bee Gees gem. An inspired guitarist, Gibb became the master of moving on. As for songwriting, Gibb equates it to, quote, a barrel full of thoughts. I would just jiggle around and look for another title. Melody first, then the beat, finally lyrics tailored to the sound in that order. All I had was my imagination. I emptied my mind and allowed it to come in. It's estimated that Gibb wrote or co-wrote more than 1,000 songs, though he's never kept count. Gibb grew up in hard circumstances after World War II, the son of a band leader and a mother who worked multiple jobs. They moved to sunny Australia during the government's post-war immigration drive to increase population. It was there that Gibb and the twins started performing and writing songs. The brothers' initial success in the United Kingdom was stunning, defying probability and logic. Really worthy of a biopic, and oh yeah, one is in the works with Graham King, who produced Bohemian Rhapsody about the band Queen. On February 7, 1967, the Gibbs returned to their native England after traveling 5 weeks by sea from Australia, their home for 9 years. The first record Barry heard was the Beatles' 45, Strawberry Fields Forever, with Penny Lane on the B-side. Seismic. I remember thinking, oh my God, we might as well go back. How can you compete with that? A little more than 2 weeks later, the Bee Gees met and signed with Robert Stigwood, a showman of the P.T. Barnum variety. They went into the studio the following month. Their first London concert appearance occurred at the end of March. By May, they had their first British hit, New York Mining Disaster, 1941. In July, the brothers released their first international album, Bee Gees First. In 1967 and 1968, the group recorded the classics, I've Gotta Get a Message to You, To Love Somebody, Words, and Massachusetts. Gibb deployed his now famous falsetto on 1975's Nights on Broadway. Record producer Arif Mardin suggested he try it as, quote, cherry on the cake. Gibb was capable of composing in the studio, in the dark, on the fly, with kids and cartoons blaring in the background in a matter of hours and with merely a prompt. The songs for Saturday Night Fever were created without seeing a script or reading the original magazine story that served as its basis. In 1978, Gibb's phone rang. Stigwood needed a song for a movie he was producing. A hit song, because that's what Gibb delivers. There's no script. There's barely an idea. In the beginning, there was only the word. And the word was Grease. Well, how do you write a song called Grease? Gibb recalled. The only way to do it is as a slogan. Grease is the word. It's got a groove. It's got a meaning. Grease is the time, is the place, is the motion. Grease is the way we are feeling. He was at home, watching the kids. I watched my father write that song in real time, pick up a guitar while I'm watching Bugs Bunny, his song. His son, Stephen, recalled. His father wrote it in an afternoon. It's like he's an antenna. He knows that one frequency where all those things hang out. For years, Gibb didn't comprehend how the mid-1970s lean years before their triumph on the dance floor, followed by the backlash to its triumph, would get him to this point. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997 with his brothers, and now the Kennedy Center honors long after they're gone. Greatest night of my life, Gibb said of performing in the 2017 Legends slot at the Glastonbury Festival, a 75-minute set in front of more than 100,000 people. As he told his brothers, if you're just a group and you make records, you're not going to survive. You'll have your time and then you're done. Even if you're huge, even if you're the Bee Gees, build a reputation as songwriters. And you can live forever if you do that right. The Kennedy Center Honors will be broadcast December 27 at 9 p.m. on CBS and stream on Paramount Plus. I'm going to leave you with the keyboard warrior version of the Bee Gees' How Deep Is Your Love? Today's Morovation comes from Albert Einstein, who said, I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious. Thank you for listening to The Moralogue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, marijuana is the shit.